911. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. We're talking to Dr. Parveen Parmar. She was out there on the front lines at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston when they brought in the first trauma victims from the marathon bombing. So thank you, and welcome back, Dr. Parmar. Now, as I, you know, we were discussing, you know, I've seen a lot of penetrating trauma. I've worked in some tough cities, but I have never dealt with mass casualty explosion. It can happen because, you know, not even related to terrorism, because we saw what happened down in Texas almost that later that very week. But what's your experience been? You, I know that you've stated you've done humanitarian response internationally. So what have you done? Was this different than most of the things you've dealt with so far?
This was very different. So in addition to being an emergency physician, I do some work in public health, and I do assist with humanitarian response. I've worked in Pakistan after the floods in 2010. I assisted with some research in Japan after the tsunami, and I've worked with refugees in Cameroon and in and around Burma. But generally speaking, that assistance comes after, well after the events and well after those initial traumatic injuries. So it's a very, very different experience to be in an emergency department when something like this happens, and to see those patients coming in.
Yeah, so a total of 176 were injured. There were unfortunately three deaths. Without a doubt, I'm convinced that the death rate was way down, because ironically, the Boston Marathon, I mean, you have, you know, all these first responders standing around waiting to take care of people. You have medical tents with nurses there ready to go. You have, you know, multiple police officers in the area. So it was, in fact, they probably picked that event to get the most amount of people. But we, I believe, and I'm wondering what you think, is the casualty count was kept down because Boston was so well prepared for the marathon.
I think that's exactly right. There were, as you said, teams of physicians and nurses that were on scene. As I said, our EMS, Boston EMS, is just phenomenal. They had trained for this. They had prepared, you know, specifically for something like this. And when the incident happened, I read later that they actually had the scene cleared within 18 minutes, just in case there was another bomb that was going to explode, had all the patients transported efficiently and quickly. There were stories, actually, of bystanders that applied tourniquets as well. So everybody just worked really well together. But Boston EMS just did a phenomenal job. You know, as I said, our hospital, Brigham and Women's Hospital, had done multiple drills for an event like this as well, as I know other hospitals in the region had. The city had considered something like this, even in the context of the marathon, as well. So everybody was really well prepared. And unfortunately, it's unfortunate that it happened. We are lucky in the United States that this happens relatively infrequently, but I think everyone can rest assured that, that authorities have done their best, and definitely in Boston, done their best to really prepare for something like this.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about blast injuries and what exactly happens, because there's like kind of three levels. It's kind of a multi-system, you know, life-threatening injuries. It's both blunt and penetrating trauma together, depending on what the device is. And there's several levels or of mechanism of injury. So talk a little bit about that and what happens in an explosion.
So in an explosion, you have, as you said, several types of injuries that can occur. So there's a primary set of injuries from the blast itself. So when you think about a blast wave, the actual force of the blast wave can cause injury to parts of your body that are filled with air. So the eardrums, you can see rupture eardrums as a result of a blast injury. Your lungs can become bruised or contused as a result of a blast injury. And even the intestines, you can have intestinal injury if it's a high enough force blast injury. So that's what we call primary blast injury. The next set of injuries you see are what we saw a lot of, unfortunately, in this recent incident, which are injuries as a result of flying objects. So We call those secondary injuries. Those are flying objects either that have been propelled by the blast wave itself or potentially as a result of shrapnel that was actually a part of the explosive device, which was, of course, the case with this particular event.
So you mean like glass that's shattering from the blast itself and then whatever they put in the pressure cookers people talked about. What did you see? Like, were there nails or BBs or something were in there, right?
Right. My understanding was that there were small nails and then small BBs that were a couple of millimeters as well that were propelled, that were actually included in the device itself.
Mm. Okay. And then, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. The third mechanism of injury.
Right. So you can see people actually, if the blast injury has enough force, people can actually be propelled into another object and they can get an injury as a result of that. And then, of course, there's miscellaneous injuries. You can get crush injuries, burns if it's, if you're close enough to the explosion and that sort of thing.
Yeah, because pretty hot. And we did see initially there were people being rushed out of the scene that did have a lot of burns. It must have been a big explosion because they showed over and over again that elderly gentleman who was running, and it must have shaken the ground enough that he actually, you know, was put off his footing and fell down right at the time of the explosion, too.
There was a fair amount of force with this blast, definitely.
Yeah. And then what things should people watch out for now? Because there are burns and crush, and I'm sure there's, you know, there were so many shrapnel injuries and such. Is there higher risk of infection? I mean, when people were discharged, if they were discharged, what types of things did you tell them to watch out for?
Many of the people that present initially, you'll see those injuries immediately. You know, the injuries from shrapnel, the injuries from a blast injury, a lot of those you will see right away. There are possibilities for some delayed injuries. So if you have somebody that has a high enough force blast injury, they can get some delayed injury to their intestines, and they may later have some abdominal pain and vomiting. Typically people that have, and I certainly don't see these on a daily basis. Thankfully, we don't see these very often. But my understanding is that people that have those delayed injuries are likely to have evidence of other things going on when they first present. So I would say for the most part, people that were discharged immediately did okay. There are people, of course, that did get ruptured eardrums as a result of this. And so that does take some time to heal. The majority of those people will recover function and be able to hear just fine, but that's something that does generally need to be followed by an ear, nose, and throat specialist so that we can make sure that they actually do make a full recovery.
Yeah, that's true. And infection, tetanus, I imagine you had to protect people with all those types of things just from shrapnel injuries.
That's absolutely right. And there is a CDC recommendation now to consider secondary infection from bloodborne pathogens like HIV and hepatitis C, but that's, to my knowledge, never been known to happen, and I think a rare event and just something to be careful about in an event like this.
Oh, you mean when people were rushing in and there was a lot of blood there at the scene? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly, but again, it's something that really has not, to my knowledge, ever occurred, and it's something that physicians are just told to sort of be aware of as something to consider when taking care of these patients in the long term.
Yeah, well, it must have been some shift that day that you had, and I know that as a nation, we thank all the ER docs and all the other docs that were in the Boston Hospital, as well as all the first responders that participated. So, a fascinating story and firsthand account of the Boston Marathon bombings from a doctor's point of view.